Today is the 28th day of October. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. It's great to be here with you around the global campfire that we come in out of the cold and warm ourselves and light ourselves each and every day. And it's great to be here with you at the end of another week. And as we end this week, we will be ending books in the Old and New Testament, setting us up well for the beginning of a new week, where we will begin two new books, one new book and one new letter. So we'll complete the book of Jeremiah and the letter to Titus today. A reading from the Names of God Bible this week, Jeremiah chapter 51, verse 54 through 52, verse 34. Cries of agony are heard from Babylon. Sounds of terrible destruction are heard from the land of the Babylonians. Yahweh will destroy Babylon. He will silence the loud noise coming from it. Waves of enemies will come roaring in like raging water. The noise will be heard everywhere. A destroyer will attack Babylon. Its soldiers will be captured, and their bows and arrows will be broken. I, Yahweh, am a God who punishes evil. I will certainly punish them. I will make their officials and wise men drunk, along with their governors, officers, and soldiers. They will fall into a deep sleep and never wake up, declares the Melech, whose name is Yahweh Tzebaoth. This is what Yahweh Tzebaoth says. The thick walls of Babylon will be leveled, and its high gates will be set on fire. People exhaust themselves for nothing. The nations wear themselves out only to have a fire. This is the message that the prophet Jeremiah gave to Sariah, son of Neriah, and grandson of Maaseiah, when Sariah went to Babylon with King Zedekiah of Judah in the fourth year of Zedekiah's rule. Sariah was the quartermaster. Jeremiah wrote on a scroll all the disasters that would happen to Babylon. He wrote all these things that have been written about Babylon. Jeremiah said to Sariah, "When you come to Babylon, see that you read all this. Then say, 'Yahweh, you have threatened to destroy this place so that no person or animal will live there, and it will become a permanent ruin.' When you finish reading this scroll, tie a stone to it and throw it into the middle of the Euphrates River. Say, 'Babylon will sink like this scroll. It will never rise again because of the disasters that I will bring on it.'" The words of Jeremiah end here. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to rule, and he ruled for 11 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hamutal, daughter of Jeremiah from Libna. Zedekiah did what Yahweh considered evil, as Jehoiakim had done. Yahweh became angry with Jerusalem and Judah and threw the people out of his sight. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. On the 10th day of the 10th month of the 9th year of Zedekiah's reign, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon attacked Jerusalem with his entire army. They set up camp and built dirt ramps around the city walls. The blockade of the city lasted until Zedekiah's 11th year as king. On the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine in the city became so severe that the common people had no food. The enemy broke through the city walls, and all Judah's soldiers fled. They left the city at night through the gate between the two walls beside the king's garden. While the Babylonians were attacking the city from all sides, they took the road to the plain of Jericho. The Babylonian army pursued King Zedekiah and caught up with him in the plain of Jericho. His entire army had deserted him. The Babylonians captured the king and brought him to the king of Babylon at Riblah in Hamath, where the king of Babylon passed sentence on him. The king of Babylon slaughtered Zedekiah's sons as Zedekiah watched. He also slaughtered all the officials of Judah at Riblah. Then he blinded Zedekiah and put him in bronze shackles. The king of Babylon took him to Babylon and put him in a prison where he stayed until he died. On the 10th day of the 5th month of Nebuchadnezzar's 19th year as king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, who was the captain of the guard and an officer of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned down Yahweh's temple, the royal palace, and all the houses in Jerusalem. Every important building was burned down. The entire Babylonian army that was with the captain of the guard tore down the walls around Jerusalem. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, captured the few people left in the city, those who surrendered to the king of Babylon, and the rest of the population. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left some of the poorest people in the land to work in the vineyards and on the farms. The Babylonians broke apart the bronze pillars of Yahweh's temple, the stands, and the bronze pool in Yahweh's temple. They shipped all the bronze to Babylon. They took the pots, shovels, snuffers, bowls, dishes, and all the bronze utensils used in the temple service. The captain of the guard also took pans, incense burners, bowls, pots, lampstands, dishes, and the bowls used for wine offerings. The captain of the guard took all of the trays and bowls that were made of gold or silver. The bronze from the two pillars, the pool, and the 12 bronze bulls under the stands that King Solomon had made for Yahweh's temple couldn't be weighed. One pillar was 27 feet high and 18 feet in circumference. It was 3 inches thick and hollow. The capital that was on it was 7.5 feet high, with a filigree and pomegranates around it. They were all made of bronze. The second pillar was the same. It also had pomegranates. There were 96 pomegranates on the sides. The total number of pomegranates on the surrounding filigree was 100. The captain of the guard took the chief priest, Seraiah, the second priest, Zephaniah, and the 3 doorkeepers. From the city he also took an army commander, 7 men who had access to the king whom he found in the city, the scribe who was in charge of the militia, and 60 common people whom he found in the city. Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took them and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. The king of Babylon executed them at Riblah in the territory of Hamath. So the people of Judah were captives as they left their land. These are the people Nebuchadnezzar took captive. In his 7th year as king, he took 3,023 Jews. In his 18th year, Nebuchadnezzar took 832 people from Jerusalem. In Nebuchadnezzar's 23rd year as king, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, took away 745 Jews. In all, 4,600 people were taken away. On the 25th day of the 12th month of the 37th year of the imprisonment of King Jehoiakim of Judah, King Evil-Merodach of Babylon, in the 1st year of his reign, freed King Jehoiakim of Judah and released him from prison. He treated him well and gave him a special position higher than the other kings who were with him in Babylon. Jehoiakim no longer wore prison clothes, and he ate his meals in the king's presence as long as he lived. The king of Babylon gave him a daily food allowance as long as he lived. Titus 3. Remind believers to willingly place themselves under the authority of government officials. Believers should obey them and be ready to help them with every good thing they do. Believers shouldn't curse anyone or be quarrelsome, but they should be gentle and show courtesy to everyone. Indeed, we too were once stupid, disobedient, and misled. We were slaves to many kinds of lusts and pleasures. We were mean and jealous. We were hated, and we hated each other. However, when God our Savior made his kindness and love for humanity appear, he saved us. But not because of anything we had done to gain his approval. Instead, because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing in which the Holy Spirit gives us new birth and renewal. God poured a generous amount of the Spirit on us through Yeshua, Christ, our Savior. As a result, God, in his kindness, has given us his approval, and we have become heirs who have the confidence that we have everlasting life. This is a statement that can be trusted. I want you to insist on these things, so that those who believe in God can concentrate on setting an example by doing good things. This is good and helps other people. Avoid foolish controversies. Arguments about genealogies, quarrels and fights about Moses' teachings. This is useless and worthless. Have nothing to do with people who continue to teach false doctrine after you have warned them once or twice. You know that people like this are corrupt. They are sinners, condemned by their own actions. When I send Artemis or Tychicus to you, hurry to visit me in the city of Nicopolis. I have decided to spend the winter there. Give Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos your best support for their trip, so that they will have everything they need. Our people should also learn how to set an example by doing good things when urgent needs arise, so that they can live productive lives. Everyone with me sends you greetings. Greet our faithful friends. God's good will be with all of you. Psalm 100, a psalm of thanksgiving. Shout happily to Yahweh, all the earth. Serve Yahweh cheerfully. Come into his presence with a joyful song. Realize that Yahweh alone is Elohim. He made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep in his care. Enter his gates with a song of thanksgiving. Come into his courtyards with a song of praise. Give thanks to him. Praise his name. Yahweh is good. His mercy endures forever. His faithfulness endures throughout every generation. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19. Like a madman who shoots flaming arrows and death, So is the person who tricks his neighbor and says, "I was only joking." Okay, so we can't pass up this proverb without paying attention to it. And because it's so stark. And it was pretty stark yesterday, too. So the Proverbs obviously are full of wisdom, and it is the wisdom of ages that has been collected and passed down, and so it advises on a number of levels, a lot of the time just practical advice for the posture of life that works. Like one that builds wisdom block upon block until you become wise and kind of know how to operate in this world. Kind of know how to look for the story behind the story. But then sometimes it's very, very stark about behavior. So, I mean, like we were talking about yesterday, do you know somebody in your life that is a really abrasive and cutting person? Like, really critical, but it's always veiled. It's sort of like, you don't know whether they mean it or not, but you know that they do. But they've left themselves an out so that they can jab at you or nick you or cut you and then kind of wait a little while and then do it again. And they have this critical thing going on toward you. But then when they're called out on it, they're like, "What? I was just joking. I was just joking." You know I didn't mean that when you know that they did. And it like baits you, because on the one hand, you know what's going on, right? Like you're being torn down, and yet maybe you're related to this person, or it's a family event, or it's a coworker that is above you, and you can't, you know, you can't just walk out. Like you're kind of trapped taking this, and then hearing that it's only a joke, but you know it's not, and so you're isolated, and there's really not a whole lot you can do about it. Because you know that, like, defending yourself or striking back, that's not going to go well. That's only going to amp this up and only make more problems. And then, you know, if you go other directions and just have conversations, et cetera, trying to find a solution, then they've got the out. Like, this person, like, you just can't take a joke. You just can't take a joke. I was just kidding. This just, like, makes it worse on you, right? So it's like this horrible situation. That is what the proverb is talking about. Now listen to the starkness of the language, though. Like a madman who shoots flaming arrows, arrows and death, so is the person who tricks his neighbor and says, "I was only joking." So if you have someone in your life that does that to you, then now you have a bit of context. You can step away, refer back to this proverb and go like, man, this is crazy behavior. Like the person who does this is so insecure inside that they're acting like a madman who are shooting these arrows of death and not even understanding and then stepping away, like disassociating from their own behavior. That they are being abusive and spin it like it was just a big joke. Very, very, very unhealthy. And so you can observe that as it's happening to you and just go, this is unhealthy. So yeah, I need to be aware and find ways to step away from this, but I'm also naming it. This is crazy. It's unhealthy. It's destructive. And if I engage in the same way, like if I try to turn this around and do the same thing back, then I'm acting like a madman too. If you are this kind of person where the critical things are coming out of your mouth before you can catch them, and you are nicking and cutting and swiping at people, especially those that you love, and you continue to do it and then just be like, "What? It was just a joke. Can't you take a joke?" The best thing that we can say here is that that's not healthy, and that's not going anywhere. And if we want to take this behavior biblically, then it's mad. It's like a madman. who shoots flaming arrows, arrows and death. And don't think for a minute that our words don't have that kind of power. Because our relationships and inner relationships are formed by our words. And so as we close this week down, we have this to consider. And Holy Spirit, we invite you into this, the use of our language and our words, especially as it impacts our brothers and sisters around us, the people around us. How are we stewarding our words? Because we don't usually think of it in those terms. We just communicate. And sometimes we're thoughtful and sometimes we're not. And it's just talk, it's just words. And yet, your word continues to show us that words are pretty powerful things. And they're not just benign, they do things. They create things. And they need to be stewarded. There are times that we shouldn't wag our tongues. There are times that we should bite them and hold back what we are about to say because it's going to be destructive and it's not in a healthy way. It's not like we're going to tear down a few things so that we can immediately rebuild upon them, so that we can enter into an issue together and work through it toward a solution. Rather, it's just like snipers on the sideline, digging, cutting, tearing down, and then acting like it was a joke. Help us, Holy Spirit, to steward what we say. And may we speak words of the kingdom this day and every day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is the website. It's home base. It's where you find out what's going on around here. If you have a prayer request or comment, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible family. It is 3:49 a.m., and I have been packing all night long to leave my mother's house. And we have talked about her before. She's highly toxic, but I feel a lot of guilt in leaving because she's elderly and needs help, but refuses the help. So if you could please pray for her and pray for the entire family and the dysfunction that is there, that God would heal that and just bring us close before it's too late and she has passed away. I am also, the original reason that I am calling in is for more prayers for my marriage. My husband and I have been separated for 9.5 months now. And he is, thanks to you all's prayers, is beginning to open up his heart. We have seen each other 4 times in the last 2 months. Doesn't sound like a lot, but it felt like a lot after not seeing him for so long. And each time he seems to be warmer and more fond, more gentle, and open to recognizing that he does still have feelings. He has yet to commit to anything or say that he's not going to proceed with the divorce. However, at least there is an openness in his heart at the moment. So please continue to pray for the Lord to work in that and to open his heart and his soul even more, especially to abiding by his vows and marriage. And God hates divorce, and to turn him away from that path and turn him towards the Lord and towards me, his wife. Thank you so much, family.
This is Julie and Chris from Texas, and we're just calling in to pray for our fellow dabbers.
Lord, thank you that you're the Prince of Peace. Lord, we lift you up over families, over marriages, over just individuals everywhere, Lord, right now going through the stresses and kind of being battled against with anxiety. And Lord, we just pray for you to intervene in all of our lives. with your peace, with your mercies that are new this morning, Lord. We thank you that you are in the little details as much as you're in the big parts of our lives, Lord. We thank you that you are high and lifted up, and you're good, Lord.
Lord, we just thank you, Father, that you are enthroned in our hearts. You are enthroned in our minds. You are enthroned as Lord of our lives and our families and our marriages. God, we put you in the highest place above all else because that is where you belong. And we just thank you, Father, for your power to just be shown in our lives, that we would be instruments of your glory here on earth and just bring glory and joy to your heart in that, Father God. So be glorified through us, through our marriages, through our families, through every part of our lives. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Hi, this is Victoria Soldier. Just calling to pray for some of the dabbers and give the update on my grandson and my nephew. Both babies were born on October 6th. They're out of the hospital. I want to just thank the dabbers so much for the prayer. And I also want to pray for Lisa and little Cherie and the one that is in intensive care. I want to pray for my precious China and her precious baby and Jill, and thanking them for what they've done, and even Brian and all the people of God. I love you all, dabbers, and I think of you daily, and I tell everybody about you and tell them about what a great group of people that we have, that we pray for each other. And somebody today wanted to have a baby. We just ask God to open up the womb and have your way, even in every challenge in their life. And I'm giving life and favor to all of the dabbers, those especially looking for jobs, and as the policeman was looking for a job that was closer to his home. I ask you to bless him tremendously in the mighty name of Jesus, and let him be the person that you're calling him to be. And Father, we just pray for our nation, those in Israel, Lord. We pray for those in Israel that peace will be there and that God will be with them as he always is. We just thank you that he's a faithful God and he's a mighty God, and his ways are not our ways, and our trust is in him. He's the only one that doesn't have a respect of person, but he loves us and he promised he wouldn't hold any good thing from us. Somebody today needs to know that Jesus loves them. You have a good day. Love you all, Deborah. Bye-bye. Have a good day.
Hi, family. This is Prisoner of Hope. From junk to treasure, sweet sister, your event didn't go well, and you ended up in the hole, and then your phone wasn't working, and you couldn't log in, and you're stressed, and you're overloaded, and you have just a lot of pain and trauma, and you said that you feel like you're being attacked by Satan, and you just need to recover so you can move forward. Sweet sister, I am praying for you that the Lord will really just lift you up out of this hole that you feel like you're in. Morning Lift, I'm praying for your daughter Sparrow, who's going through a really tough time and told you some things that are concerning. I'm praying that she'll reconnect with the Lord and be blessed by him. Christopher, Dare Dreamer in Indianapolis, you're living in a homeless shelter and you're 8 months sober. Praise God, minus a one-day slip-up, which we're not going to look at that day because we know the Lord has better things for you. Heavenly Father, I am lifting up each of these people. You're ever so close to us, Father, and we know that we can do all things through you, for you are the source of our strength. Please, Lord, may these people lean into you. May they do what's most honoring to you. May they live their best life before you. We ask that your hand would be upon them, that you would hold their hearts within yours and renew their minds, bodies, and souls. Give them what they need to move forward on the path that you've laid out for them. And just guide them in your wisdom, Lord, and bind Satan as he is out to destroy them. He is out to trip them up in every way. And we ask that you would protect them, hold them up and lift them up, and just bless their lives. May your face shine upon them. May you be gracious to them. We ask this all in the beautiful, precious name of Jesus. Amen.